A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
So Daniel sent us this one. He's been thinking about something that honestly keeps me up at night too. He's had hundreds of conversations with AI chat platforms, researching apartment renovations, parenting advice, business strategy. And his question is basically, where does all that data actually live? And what happens to it if his account gets suspended while he's on vacation? He points out that there's nothing technically preventing these platforms from offering proper export and backup features. If you self-host something like OpenWeb UI, you own the data surface completely. But he's come to the conclusion that, if a good commercial solution exists, reinventing your own wheel isn't a prudent investment of time. So, the core question is, in the landscape of AI tools, is anyone actually offering a viable backup service for users, or do you have to host your own platform to get basic data protection?
The short answer is no, nobody's doing this properly. And what makes it fascinating is that it's not a technical problem. The technology to do incremental, automated backups of chat history has existed for decades. Email clients figured this out in the 90s. Google Takeout has been doing batch exports since 2011. But as of right now, mid-2026, ChatGPT has over 400 million monthly active users and still offers nothing beyond a manual export button that emails you a zip file. One shot, all or nothing. No incremental sync, no API, no scheduled backups. It's the data equivalent of backing up your hard drive by mailing yourself a DVD once a year.
400 million users, and the export strategy is click this button and pray. That's not a feature gap. That's a statement of philosophy dressed up as an oversight.
And Claude is in the same boat. Anthropic offers a single export option, same basic approach. You request your data, you wait, you get a download. There's no API endpoint for programmatic access, no OAuth scoped tokens that would let a third-party backup tool connect and sync your chats. Compare that to what Google Takeout does for Gmail. You can request incremental exports via the API, scoped to specific data types with proper authentication. The technical blueprint exists. These platforms are choosing not to implement it.
So let's name what's actually happening here. A user invests months of context, personal information, refined prompts, research threads. They're essentially building a knowledge base inside a walled garden. And the platform retains unilateral control over whether that knowledge base continues to exist. Miss a credit card payment while you're on a two-week vacation and, poof, 6 months of business strategy conversations gone.
That's not a hypothetical. I've seen it happen with SaaS platforms across the board. A lapsed payment method, a terms of service dispute, even a regional compliance issue. Any of these can trigger an account suspension, and if there's no backup, the data might as well have never existed. What's different about AI chat platforms is the depth of the data. These aren't transactional records. They're extended, multi-turn conversations where you're refining ideas, getting nuanced advice, building templates. The loss isn't just inconvenient. It's genuinely destructive to ongoing work.
And yet the export button exists, so the platform can point to it and say, "We offer data portability. It's compliance theater." Check the box, move on. Never mind that the implementation is useless for anyone who actually needs reliable access to their data.
Right. Let me break down what a proper implementation would actually require, because it's not complicated. First, you need a user data API with scoped access tokens. The user generates an API key from a management dashboard, sets permissions, read-only access to chat history, for example, and can revoke it at any time. Second, you'd need incremental sync endpoints. A call that says, "Give me all chats modified since timestamp X." That way a backup tool doesn't have to re-download everything every time. Third, you'd need support for attached files and images, because conversations increasingly include uploaded documents, screenshots, reference materials. None of this is novel. It's REST API Design 101.
So, if it's that straightforward, what's the business logic against building it? Because I refuse to believe the engineers at these companies just forgot.
there are at least three incentives working against it. The first and most obvious is lock-in. AI chat platforms monetize through continued engagement and subscription revenue. Making it easy to maintain a full local copy of your chat history reduces switching costs. If you've got a year of conversations with ChatGPT and you can seamlessly export them to a format that another platform could ingest, the barrier to trying Claude or Gemini or whatever comes next drops dramatically.
It's the Hotel California model. You can check out anytime you like, but your data can never leave.
That's the second layer. Chat histories aren't just a retention tool, they're training data assets. These companies use conversation data to improve their models, refine safety filters, and understand user behavior. They may be reluctant to surrender full copies of the raw material they're actively mining. Even if they claim not to train on user data, the aggregate patterns are valuable, and full data portability makes it harder to control how that data flows.
And the third?
The third is that backup features don't drive revenue. They're infrastructure. They cost engineering time to build and maintain, they add support burden, and they don't directly convert free users to paid subscribers. From a product management perspective, it's hard to make the case for spending resources on something that reduces lock-in and doesn't show up in the quarterly growth metrics. Enterprise plans are the exception because compliance features are a line item you can charge for. ChatGPT Enterprise at roughly $60 per user per month includes admin data retention policies and export controls, but those are designed for organizational governance, not individual backup. The feature gap for small businesses and solo users is intentional.
So the $60 per user enterprise plan gets proper data controls, and everyone else gets the zip file of despair. That's not a technical limitation. That's market segmentation by data anxiety.
And it creates a perverse incentive structure. The users who most need reliable backups, small business owners, independent researchers, freelancers, are precisely the users who can't justify enterprise pricing. A solo practitioner running a consulting business might have 50 plus chats per day, refining client response templates, building research threads, developing content strategies. That's a significant intellectual asset. But $60 per user per month, times maybe 5 to 10 employees, and suddenly you're looking at $300 to $600 a month for what amounts to a backup feature. At that price point, you might as well build your own solution.
Which brings us to the self-hosting alternative. Daniel mentioned Open Web UI. Walk me through what that actually looks like for someone who's technically inclined, but not a systems administrator.
Open Web UI is essentially a front-end that connects to various AI models, OpenAI's API, Anthropic's API, local models via Llama, and stores all your chat data locally. When you run it on your own infrastructure, everything lives in a SQLite or PostgreSQL database that you control. You can script nightly backups to S3, Google Drive, Backblaze B2, whatever you prefer. You can version control your conversation history. You can even set up incremental sync so only new chats get added to each backup. The deployment itself is straightforward, a Docker Compose file, a few environment variables, and you're running. If you're comfortable with basic Linux administration, you can have this set up in a weekend.
And what's the ongoing operational overhead? Because set it up in a weekend is the easy part. Keeping it running is where projects like this tend to quietly die.
Realistically, about 30 minutes a month. You need to apply security updates, monitor uptime, occasionally troubleshoot when an API changes. If you're running it on a $10 a month VPS with automated backups to Backblaze B2, your total cost is around $15 a month. That's full data ownership, complete portability, and the ability to switch between AI providers without losing your conversation history. The trade-off is that you're now responsible for infrastructure that was previously someone else's problem.
And that trade-off is exactly what Daniel was getting at. He said he's come to the conclusion that if a good commercial solution exists, it's not a prudent investment of time to reinvent the wheel. The problem is that no good commercial solution exists. So the choice isn't between self-hosting and a paid backup service. It's between self-hosting and hoping nothing goes wrong.
Let me put some concrete numbers on what hoping nothing goes wrong actually means. ChatGPT's built-in export generates a ZIP file that gets emailed to you. The process is manual, it's all or nothing, and there's no way to schedule it or make it selective. If you're having 50 conversations a day, after 6 months, you've got roughly 9,000 chats. That ZIP file is going to be enormous, and extracting useful information from it requires writing your own parsing scripts. It's a data dump, not a backup system.
The difference between a dump and a backup is that a backup is something you can actually restore from. A dump is something you generate once, look at, realize it's unusable, and then forget about until you need it and discover it's 6 months out of date.
And the third-party ecosystem hasn't filled the gap either. There are browser extensions, save ChatGPT, export chat history, a handful of others, but they all rely on DOM scraping. They read the HTML structure of the chat interface and extract the text. Every time OpenAI or Anthropic updates their UI, these extensions break. There's no stable API contract, no platform endorsement, no guarantee that the tool will work next week. It's the early days of cloud storage all over again. Before Dropbox had native integrations, there were dozens of third-party sync tools that cobbled together functionality from whatever hooks they could find. Most of them died within a year.
So the landscape is manual ZIP dumps that are barely functional, fragile browser extensions that break with every UI update, and enterprise plans that cost more than most small businesses spend on their actual productivity software. And then on the other side, self-hosting that gives you complete control but requires technical competence and ongoing maintenance. That's not a market. That's a void with some debris floating in it.
And the void has real consequences beyond inconvenience. There's a knock-on effect here that doesn't get discussed enough. Users self-censor. If you know your chat history could vanish, or if you're not sure who has access to it, you avoid deep, multi-turn conversations on sensitive topics. Health questions, legal research, financial planning. You keep things surface level because you can't trust the persistence layer. That directly limits the utility of AI tools for the kind of substantive work where they'd be most valuable.
It also makes auditing impossible. If you're using an AI for research or decision support, you should be able to track how its advice changes across model versions. Did the recommendation on that investment strategy shift between GPT-4 and GPT-4.5? You can't know if you don't have the history. The platform becomes a black box, not just in how it generates responses, but in how your own interaction with it evolves over time.
There's an interesting parallel here to what happened with email. In the early days of webmail, your messages lived on the server and that was it. If the service went down, you couldn't access your archive. Then IMAP and POP3 became standard, and suddenly you could sync your email to a local client, back it up, search it offline. The data became portable because users demanded it and protocols emerged to support it. AI chat platforms are still in the pre-IMAP era. Everything is server-side, and the only protocol is the web interface.
So what would it take to get to the IMAP moment for AI chats? Is regulation the only lever, or is there a market-based path?
Regulation is already in motion, at least in Europe. The Digital Markets Act and GDPR both include data portability provisions. Under GDPR, users can file data portability requests, and platforms are obligated to provide data in a structured, commonly used, machine-readable format. The problem is enforcement. Filing a request gets you a one-time export, which is what these platforms already offer. What the regulations don't mandate is ongoing, automated portability, the ability to set up a continuous sync. That's the gap between compliance and actual utility.
So the law says they have to give you your data, but it doesn't say they have to make it easy to keep getting it. Another checkbox satisfied.
The market-based path is more interesting. There are emerging third-party clients, TypingMind, ChatHub, a few others, that act as a front-end to multiple AI models. You bring your own API keys, and the client stores your chat data locally. These aren't official solutions, and they come with their own privacy and reliability trade-offs. You're trusting a third-party developer with your API credentials and your conversation data. But they demonstrate that the demand exists. If enough users migrate to these tools, the major platforms might eventually feel pressure to offer native solutions.
Or they might just acquire the most popular third-party client and shut down the export features.
That would be the cynical read, and I can't say it's wrong. But there's another possibility. As AI agents become more autonomous and handle longer-running tasks, multi-day research projects, ongoing business operations, persistent personal assistance, the need for durable, exportable state becomes critical. An AI agent that's managing your calendar and drafting your emails over the course of months is generating a conversation history that's essentially a business record. You can't treat that as disposable. The platforms that solve data portability first may gain a trust advantage that translates directly into enterprise adoption.
So let's get practical. Daniel asks what someone can actually do today. If you're a power user or a small business and you're looking at this landscape, what's the move?
There are three tiers of response, depending on your technical comfort level and how much you value your data. Tier 1. If you want maximum control and you're comfortable with basic server administration, self-host open web UI, or a similar platform, deploy it on a cheap VPS, set up automated nightly backups to Backblaze B2 or S3, and sleep soundly. Total cost around $15 a month, total setup time a weekend, ongoing maintenance about 30 minutes a month. You own everything.
And tier 2, for people who don't want to manage infrastructure.
Tier 2 is the manual backup habit. Use the built-in export feature monthly. Download the zip file, store it in encrypted cloud storage, and maintain a separate document, Google Doc, Notion, whatever, with your most valuable prompts and response templates. This is not a real backup strategy, it's a stopgap. But it means that if your account disappears tomorrow, you haven't lost everything. You've at least preserved the templates and research threads you explicitly saved.
It's the digital equivalent of keeping a fireproof safe with your most important documents. It won't save the whole house, but it saves what you had the presence of mind to protect.
Tier 3 is advocacy. File data portability requests under GDPR if you're in Europe. Mention the lack of backup features in product feedback channels. When platforms survey users about desired features, check the box for data export. The business calculus shifts when enough users demonstrate that they care. Right now, the signal these companies get is that most users don't think about backups until it's too late. Changing that signal is slow work, but it's the only path to a commercial solution that doesn't require self-hosting.
Before your next subscription renewal, ask yourself, if I lost access to my chat history today, what would I actually lose? If the answer is a lot, you need a plan. If the answer is not much, you're either not using these tools deeply enough, or you've already built the plan.
There's one more piece I want to touch on because Daniel mentioned it specifically. The ability to export individual chat records on demand to Google Drive or a file storage service. That's such an obviously useful feature that its absence is almost comical. You're in a chat, you've just gotten a brilliant analysis of a business problem, and you want to save that specific thread to your project folder in Drive. Right now, your options are copy-paste, screenshot, or export your entire account history and dig through the zip heap. None of those are reasonable workflows.
And the technical implementation is trivial. A save to drive button that authenticates via OAuth and writes a formatted export of the current chat. It's a weekend project for a junior engineer. The fact that it doesn't exist tells you everything about where user data ownership sits on the priority list.
The platforms that are closest to getting this right are actually the ones that aren't pure chat interfaces. Perplexity has some history management features. Poll from Quora lets you organize chats across different models, but none of them have cracked the export problem. The closest thing to a viable middle ground might be API-based tools where you bring your own keys and the client handles storage, but that's still a workaround, not a solution.
So we're in this strange position where the technology to solve the problem is well understood. The demand exists among power users. The regulatory framework provides a foundation, and yet the market has produced almost nothing. It's not a failure of innovation. It's a failure of incentives.
And that's what makes it such a perfect Daniel prompt. He's identified a gap that's obvious once you see it, technically solvable, and completely unaddressed by the major players. The question isn't whether it's possible. The question is whether anyone in a position to build it sees a business case for giving users control over their own data.
The open question, then, is whether that changes. Will AI chat platforms eventually treat conversation history like email, a durable, portable asset that you can sync, back up, and take with you? Or will they continue to treat it as a disposable byproduct of engagement, valuable only as long as you're logged in and paying? As agents get more autonomous and conversations span months instead of minutes, the tension between utility and ownership is only going to intensify. The platforms that solve this first might not win on features. They might win on trust.
Data ownership isn't a technical problem. It's a design choice. Every platform makes that choice, whether they announce it or not. The export button that emails you a zip file isn't a feature. It's a statement about who really owns the conversations you're having. Users should know what choice was made for them.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In ancient Basque, the language marks the subject of a transitive verb differently from the subject of an intransitive verb, a feature called ergativity. This means that I in I sleep takes the same form as me in you see me, while I in I see you takes a completely different case marker. To a modern English speaker, this is roughly as surprising as discovering your toaster has been conjugating verbs behind your back for 3,000 years.
I have so many questions, and I'm not sure I want any of them answered.
The toaster detail really sells it. Thanks, Hilbert.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop. If you want to send us your own weird prompt, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.